At least 58 people now dead, more than 500 people wounded.
17 fires burning right now in the state, 5,700 structures destroyed, at least 35 people dead.
I mean, this was a massive church just outside of San Juan with a congregation of 3,000 people. Maria just shredded this building.
ISIS released a new video today showing the execution of 21 Coptic Christians kidnapped in Libya.
Two suicide bombings killed more than 40 people on one of the holiest days on the Christian calendar.
North Korea fires yet another missile, but Pyongyang claims this one will be able to hit the U.S. mainland, striking cities like Los Angeles, Denver, even New York and Boston.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
The world seems so unstable, so insecure. Everything is changing way too fast. But there are some things that are steadfast, things that never change: God and His Word. Randy Reams is pastor of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. Join Pastor Randy now as he shares truths from God's unchanging Word.
Then it says, teach them to be pure. Okay, anybody know what the name of the basilica and what was Constantinople? I did it like that on purpose. It's a fancy. The Hagia Sophia. Anybody know what Hagia Sophia means? Wow. It means holy wisdom. So Hagia, all right? The word here for pure is hagnos. Holy, devoted to God. Older ladies, teach the younger ladies to be devoted to God. And I think this is the broad syllabus. How you go about that comes into details, but this is laying out where the class is going. It also shows up in the word modest. So part of being devoted to God is modesty. Matter of fact, Thayer's Greek lexicon actually puts that in as one of the definitions of this word. So if we're in 1 Peter chapter 3, so I said that slow enough so you can write it. I'm getting complaints because I say them too fast and you can't write them down. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, again, speaking to ladies, your adornment, what you wear on the outside, must not merely be external, like braided hair, wearing a jewelry, putting on dresses, but let it be in the hidden person, in the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle... I did not write this next word. Gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God, not your husband. But nobody argues the idea... Come on, ladies, you felt the pressure of outward beauty. And as you get older, you might feel that pressure more. Okay, you felt that pressure. And every lady will affirm it's not the outside that counts. It's the inside that counts. That's what he's saying here in that idea of modesty. Modesty just isn't some outside thing you do. It's an inside thing you do. It manifests itself with gentleness and quietness. Quietness does not mean shut up completely and don't say a word. It doesn't mean that. Please don't take it that way. All right? I think it means knowing when to speak and not to speak. So men could learn the lesson too. All right? As it goes on in that same part in Peter, it is speaking about an unsaved husband. What happens when you have a husband who isn't a believer? And it talks about you can win him over with your conduct, not your words. Ladies, you don't change your man with words. And all the men said, okay, but I know you're verbal. I know that. I have my girls. I can ask, and this actually happened the other day. We spent some good time with the Thomases last week. And so Judah, boy, 10 years old. So what'd you guys do? Stuff. Well, you had 3 hours together. What'd you talk about? Stuff. Ask my girls that question. Ask Judah, how was your day? Fine. Ask Courtney, how was your day? So I know you have that verbal side, and it's fun. In our house, we enjoy those differences. It's okay, all right? But men do not get transformed by the more words you say. The parable of the persistent widow isn't about husbands. It's about prayer life. But he talks about this and the idea of it, and it says, nobody is that first part that I read to you about modesty being inward, not outward, is that cultural? Or is that all? Is that just true? So if I take the rest of the text and say that's culture, I have practiced very poor hermeneutics. If I take and put my view onto that passage, that's eisegesis, that's wrong too. So if I take that passage, which every woman's going to lay claim to, hey, don't judge me by the outside, it's the inner person that counts, then I got to keep reading that this woman should be submissive to her husband. Well, can't we just skip that? By the way, that word pure shows up here again. Holy, devoted to God, shows up there in this place. So there are people who's going to come out there and try to tell you that this, especially in Peter, is cultural. Then you tell them, then looking at the inside to the outside, that's cultural. We can judge by the outside then. Of course not. Okay, but here's the other part that's important because we talk about that. Remember when I told you the older ladies needed to have that respectful behavior? A general, holy, standing upright. Here in the same verse, you get the same wording, at least in the ESV and the NAS. Respectful behavior, not the same Greek words. And I know you don't like this, but I didn't write it. It's the same word God used when you were supposed to be reverent and fearful of him. But it measures a different thing here between what God is speaking to a younger lady and what God's speaking of the older lady. There's a, but by the time they're older, God expects you to have a particular attitude or an era about you that is respectful, that's standing righteous and good for what's right and a good position. And ladies, when you're younger at sin, you might have to base it in something else. What would be the fearful side? And do these things so you don't malign the word of God. The fear is not from your husband. It's from God. Man, you malign the word of God. Who God is when you don't do this. So you need to walk in a holy reverence as much as Moses did when he saw the burning bush. Now, there's things to apply to men here, I understand that. But this is Mother's Day, so ha ha ha. Now again, we get to this next part in Titus. It also says it in Timothy, when it's talking about widows. It also says it there, okay? Remember, please remember, Paul calls this doctrine. Paul says this is supposed to be taught, in particular here by older women, but also Timothy is called to do it, or Titus is called to do it, that they should be workers or busy at home. I don't care what your culture says. The Word of God, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that hovered over the waters at creation, that awakened the church in Acts chapter 2, that same Holy Spirit spoke into Paul as he wrote, a woman ought to be, should be, do her best at being busy at home. Now, I know I am going to get emails on this, but I want you to know that same phrase, Sophocles, Euripides, Aristophanes, and if I get this right, Pausanias, these are all Greek writers, and Plutarch, all Greek writers, use that word in the same way outside the Bible. It wasn't that Paul was some kind of bigot under the Holy Spirit. He says this, why? Because you go back to love husband and love children, that's why. You go back to that, because that's... Oh, this is going to get me in trouble. That's your priority. Your devotion to God and your devotion to your husband and your children. Boy, but I didn't write it. I wish they'd write those threats to Paul. So again, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, when he's talking about widows, one of the things that they're talking about with the younger widows in particular should be keepers of the house. I know, he's just a bigot. And so is the Holy Spirit told him. there in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 through 15, at the same time, I didn't slow down. Give you time to write that out. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13 through 15. At the same time, they also, speaking of widows, will learn to be idle, because you're supposed to be doing some busy doing something else, as they go around from house to house, not merely idle, but also gossips and busybodies. We talked about that. Talking about things improper to mention. Ladies, I didn't know. I'm not in on those conversations. Anyway, therefore, I want the younger widows to get married. Uh-oh, you ready for this? Bear children, keep house. Watch this. And give the enemy no occasion for reproach. Reproach on who? You? No. Reproach on God and His Word. So, older ladies, here's what else you're supposed to teach the younger ladies. To be kind. It's also often translated good, but not the same word of good, because there's the other word you often see, good shepherd type thing, that also means sort of beautiful. It has that kind of idea to it. This word doesn't have necessarily that connotation to it. This has the more of an idea of a constitution, being agreeable, joyful, or happy. There's Greek lexicon. Older ladies, teach the younger ladies to just be joyful. To have a constitution, to have a heart and an attitude that's just positive. Let's get real. Come on, ladies. You remember when you had the three kids, two still in diapers? You can remember the struggle, the weight of that, and at days you just wanted to sit in the closet and cry. Other younger moms need the encouragement. They need the encouragement of you. It's worth every bit of it. Trust me, I know. It's worth it when you see and when they need that. Ladies, you should probably seek it out. Younger ladies, you should have. By the way, older ladies, you know what this means? You don't get to hang out with just your friends. We all like to hang around people our own age. But this calls you older ladies to hang out with the young ones, you know, who don't know your music, who wear their stupid clothes, put rings in their nose. Yeah, see? We don't want to hang. The whole time as they're talking to you and they got little things in their tongue, you're going, okay. And you know, there's that young lady. She's got a pierced tongue. And you're going, back in my day, when we walked to school uphill in a snowstorm both directions kind of thing. But the Bible is calling you to hang out with the next generation. This is one of the reasons I don't like generational church. Where you divide everybody by age, this can't happen when we divide everybody by age. By the way, this word good here is only used here and in 1 Peter. It's the only place it's used like this form of it is used. Now the next part, please, I've said it before and I'm saying it again. I did not write this. Should ladies be pure?
Yes.
Should they hold themselves?
Yes.
Should they be modest?
Yes.
Should they? Yes. Should they? Yes. Should they? Yes. So please keep saying yes when we get to the next part. Older ladies should teach younger ladies to be subject or submissive to their husbands.
That cultural stuff. You guys mistranslating the word.
Well, before you do that, I looked it up with Polybius, Aristophanes, Plutarch, and Herodian. Guess how they use that word?
Well, this shows that Paul was just part of his bigoted culture. He was using the same word they were.
Well, then you got to deal with Peter. I guess he was too. And I guess the Holy Spirit wasn't wise enough and strong enough to make sure they wrote it right. Now, first of all, I got to point this out. Subject to their husbands. That's possessive. Not someone else's husband. Not every man that comes along. Your husband. Okay? So I'm making that clear. It's your husband. Now the word is hupotasso is the word here used. Hupo means under. Tasso means to arrange. Arrange under. It's the exact same word in 1 Corinthians 15 and Romans 10 and James 4 when it says we're supposed to be submissive to God. So if it doesn't mean submissive here, well, maybe not. Maybe this is one place that you mean something different. Sort of like that good. Maybe. Maybe, but I'm just telling you they use it. But it's also used when we're supposed to submit to God's law. Romans chapter 8. It's also used of Jesus when, after the temple, he went home and was submissive to his parents. Wait a minute. Was Jesus less? Was he a doormat because he was submissive? No. It's the same word used. Ready? When the disciples come back and says, guess what? Demons are submissive to me. Same word. It's the same word in James 4 when it says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Same word. It's the same word when all things are submitted unto Jesus, under his feet. Same word. It's the same word in Ephesians chapter 5 in the context of wives. But as the church is subject to Christ. And it goes on to say, wives, be submitted, subject to your husbands. If it doesn't mean that when a husband, it doesn't mean that to the church to Christ either. Right in the middle of a sentence, we want to change a word's meaning. That's called the logical fallacy of equivocation. You don't get to do that. It's bad hermeneutics too, an exegesis. If the church is supposed to submit to Christ, in the same sentence, it says, like that, in the same manner, similar to. Older ladies, you shouldn't be teaching a young... I was watching a Christian show, and the husband and wife are sitting here, and they're being interviewed by another husband and wife. And the husband's talking, and the guest, the husband's talking. The wife jumps in and says, well, I'm not going to let you tell me, yada, yada. And the host says, way to go, girl. Oh, I just wanted to throw a Bible at him. At least these verses. Ladies, don't cheer on a heart of rebellion in a younger woman. Now, I didn't say every time that's rebellion. I didn't mean that. Okay? When a woman speaks up, when she shares her heart, so that's not rebellion. But sometimes, you older ladies need to be sensitive between it's that, well, ain't gonna tell me anything attitude. Or, and difference is, I don't understand my husband. He's not... There's a difference. And I pulled this, okay, from a non-Christian text. This word, quote, always used of orderly and structured relationships. Always. It's even, and I'm not saying anybody's a horse here, but the idea of how a horse takes steps. And the relationship of how he moves is under his control. It's the same word used as the spirit is subject to the prophet. That's the word. Okay? And again, here's what it says. That's another one of those logical connectives. That the word of God may not be maligned or reviled, depends on which version you have. What has this got to do with the word of God? I thought this had to do with relationships. What is this kind of? Well, I'm not going to take it apart because you've heard me talk about it many times before. But the idea of creation, male and female, being in his image, all right, the economic trinity. But here's the thing I want to point out. Greatness in the kingdom of God is not measured by authority, fame, or position. I'm going to say it again. Greatness in the kingdom or kingship, that should be translated, the kingship of God is not authority, fame, or position. What is it? Servanthood. That's how greatness is measured in the kingdom of God. Okay? If anyone wants to be first, they shall be last. The first shall be last, the servant of all. Is that not a mom? Just walk in the house and see what happens. Being a mother and a wife is getting to truly be an example of Christ himself, who came not to be served, but to serve. That's motherhood. I mean, that's the way I see my mom. That's the way I see my wife. I've watched her. Okay? And she's taught my daughter as well. The greatest thing you can do in the kingdom is not be the boss. Remember the two? The mama. A mama. This is a mama. Hey, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, can my boy sit on a right and a left? Lady, you missing it. It's not about the seats of authority. in the kingdom. It's about serving. Are you realizing if you're asking me to do that for your boys, what you're asking me to do is make them a servant of all? That's the great thing, is the servant. That's why we honor moms. That's why the guy gets on TV and says, "Hi, Mom," said, "Hi, Dad." Because even though Dad went out and taught him how to hit the ball, throw the ball, whatever, probably, even though he did that, he recognized it was Mom's servanthood that transformed him. It was when he came home tired from practice and he's just awful, or she is, and Dad's going, "Why didn't you catch the ball? You know, if you hold your hands just right, if you hit it," and Mom's there with all of her grace. She probably says, "Have you ate yet?" You know, kind of thing. "Honey, do you need?" That's what grabbed their heart. But I know it's gone a little long, but I don't want to end leaving some people out here. Because there are people today who are mothers, but they don't have husbands here. That's called a widow. And the Bible particularly addresses widows. And that's in 1 Timothy 5. Listen to this. Honor widows. Did you catch that? Honor widows. Period. No qualifications for that. You just do it. Then it tells us, 1 Timothy 5 goes on to tell us how a widow is defined in the church. Have to be 60 years old. And I didn't write this. Having been the wife of one man, of good reputation, of good works, devoted herself to good works, brought up her children, has shown hospitality, has washed the saints' feet. What's another word for that? Servant. If she examples servanthood. If she assisted those in distress, that's a godly widow. And it gives church has particular obligations to those. And it talks about those who are younger, that have children, that and so on, ways to take care of that. Everybody else, women, plug your ears. Okay? Listen to me, all you other men. This is Timothy 5:2. The older women you treat as mom. Hey, before you think you're going to have a fun time with this servanthood stuff that we've been teaching these ladies, says you better think of that lady like your own mother. Remember when you mouth off mom and she backhand? Maybe yours didn't, mine didn't. Okay, I don't recommend you older ladies have to do that. But anyway, older women as mothers. Listen to this. And the young men, look at me, young men. Those women sitting around you, the Bible says, you treat them like a sister. Say, good, that means I get to pester them, right? No. I want you to think about your thoughts towards a young woman, and if somebody had that for your sister, what would you do to that other guy? Your sisters in the Lord are literally you're supposed to look at like your sister. There is this thing in the scripture, while it calls you ladies to the servanthood, for Christ did not consider equality to be grasped, but humbled himself and took on the point of a servant, even point unto death. And therefore, what? God exalted his name. About ladies, listen to me. You walk in this, God exalts you. You don't need culture to tell you you're something. Because our culture will tell you, you stay home, raise kids, take a husband. Why don't you go get a real life? I don't need the exaltation, the honor of culture. If I did, I wouldn't be doing this job. What God says, if you are a servant like Christ, he'll lift you up. Matter of fact, your children will call you blessed. The culture might not. That lady who has a job as a CEO, she might not. The National Organization of Women might not. Hillary Clinton might not, but your children will. God's the one that says, when you walk in the servanthood, I elevate, I lift up. And for me, I could really see that in the reflection of how anybody else besides me ever watched Leave It to Beaver. How was mom treated? Now, I know that's a TV show, but skip a TV show. How were women treated back then? A woman came into a room. What did the men do? Stood up. If you're standing on the bus and there's no seats and you're sitting down and the woman got on, what would a man do? Does that happen today? No, here's why, ladies. You forgot the biblical principle of servanthood. Because when you serve, I'll bet you when Mother Teresa walked into a room, men stood up. Yeah. She devoted her life to, I'm not asking if you're Catholic or not Catholic, the idea of principle is the idea of servanthood. She served. And people go, wow, that was an amazing woman. Because the principles of God work, whether you're Catholic or Protestant, whether you're pagan or not. Servanthood always brings with it elevation by Christ himself. You have been called to a place of servanthood, ladies. Why? God says, I have a special place to elevate you. I don't hold that place for the man. Oh, well, I sort of like it when God comes along and lifts me up. But I know. Then just follow this way he set it up. Follow his principle. Let's stand, ladies. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for moms. I thank you, Lord, that in your divine wisdom, you established the family in a way that you have put tangible before us, where we can see the love of God, the kindness of God, the grace of God, the faithfulness of God every time we look in the eyes of mom. Father, I pray that you bless the day for these ladies, that you will remind them of the call that you have given them to be Christ-like servants. There is no greater call at all. Be glorified in their lives today, and let those around them thank them, not with just deeds, but words. Amen.
This is Pastor Randy Reams of Kindred Bible Church in Nampa, Idaho. I want to thank you for joining us today for Truths from God's Unchanging Word. This broadcast is an outreach ministry of Kindred Bible Church. I'd like to invite you also to visit our website, kindredbible.org. There you can listen to today's broadcast as well as previous broadcasts. If you're being ministered to by the broadcast, I'd like to encourage you to let us know. You can email us at info@kindredbible.org, or you can write to us at Kindred Bible Church, P.O. Box 32, Nampa, Idaho 83653. And I'd like you also to check us out on Facebook. Look at us over there and give us a like. So again, I want to thank you for listening to Truths from God's Unchanging Word.